on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is September 11, 2015. And, of course, we all know what happens on September 11th, and we all have to take a minute or two to pause and think about that. But we're here to talk about your money. We discuss this issue every day, and, you know, money is a very important part of our lives. Mortgages, life insurance, buying and selling a home, managing your retirement accounts. We talk about the global issues that might not hit your budget today, but may impact it in the future. So you got to keep an eye on that as well. And at this time, we're looking outside the U.S. for possible problems. I've been saying the last couple of years that our problems are not going to necessarily stem from inside our country, but probably outside. Economies in China and Europe, and we've kind of seen that played out. The Chinese stock market crashed in June, went down 30% in June, 40% total. And, you know, there's some going to be impacts. Think about all the rest of Asia and the trading partners of China. And of course, the EU is a major trading partner. And the biggest economy in the EU is Germany. And they're the biggest trading partner of the EU countries with China. So it's going to affect them. So all this, you need to kind of know what's going on. You don't have to be an expert, but you kind of have to know what's happening. And, you know, as I do every Friday, I talk a little bit about the premium newsletter that comes out every Friday afternoon. I talked about China and said that China have said their GDP is around 7%. But outside sources trying to look through the official numbers of the kind of opaque system that China has think that it could be as low as half of that. So that's pretty slow. And, of course, you saw this morning China announced that there may have a huge stimulus package in the works. We'll know more about that probably next week. I talked about them in my newsletter, my every Friday newsletter, e-newsletter goes out. I talked about the general market, and, you know, talk about the correction, the choppiness we're seeing and probably will continue to see. I said we are still in the correction mode, so I don't think we'd be too anxious to start investing back in the market yet. Technically speaking, we're building a sideways triangle in the indexes. That's technical meaning charting. And it looks like a bearish formation at this point, so we may retest the lows. We won't know that for sure. And then, of course, I mentioned next week's Federal Reserve meeting about interest rates. So in the portfolio management section, I talked about analyzing a company, you know, looking at, you know, the two broad areas of the way of looking at company, and how to do that. That's in there. A couple stock ideas in there. Consumer Watch talked about trying to keep your insurance cheap this week. Your car insurance, how to get the lowest possible price for that. Comes out every week, every Friday. No, you know, have a money back guarantee. It's $10 a month, a little less than $10 a month. But I thank you for spending this hour with me. I'll try to make it worth your while. Right now, let's get you into the conversation. We can start right with a phone call. You get through to me at 888-99-CHART. You can call me anytime you want. So let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Yes, Steve, I really appreciate your show, and I listen on 1220. I went to cash several months ago and now have the interesting challenge of knowing how and when to re-enter the market. Should it be sooner rather than later? I'd be interested in hearing how you plan to put cash back into the market. Once again, I appreciate your show and look forward to hearing your answer. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Well, of course, I didn't get out completely. We, you know, just produced a bunch of cash in our stock and mutual fund programs. I have not started to really put that back to work yet. I have not. Now, I will say this. I did buy a stock or two in the last couple of weeks, but I sold a stock or two. So I'm really not putting the money back in the market yet. I kind of want to wait till after the Fed meeting. want to see what that does to the market, whether they raise rates or not, and they probably are not, but I'd like to see that. But I don't think we're through with the correction yet. I still think we're in the correction mode, and they could easily retest those lows. I would feel much better if it did retest those lows and bounce off of that. Then I'd be more comfortable putting money to work. But right now, it's kind of making a sideways triangle, as I said, and it's a bearish formation. I think we might have another stroke downward. So I'm going to hold my powder dry. It's September. We're in September, so no big rush to get in. September is the worst month of the year. Always has been. Now, I don't know how statistically valid that is. I'm not sure it is. But it has proven over the years being the worst month of the year. If you look back going for many, many years, September is the worst. So I don't want to do that. Then October has a history of showing a bottom. The bottom is in place in October, and then we get a rally toward the end of the year. And I wouldn't be surprised if we have something like that happen. Something very odd has to occur for it not to happen. I think we have to have something surprising, something unexpected, and unexpectedly bad happen. And I want to play the odds, but I am going to wait to see how this correction plays out a little bit more. Okay? That's what I'm planning on doing. Too many people put their money into a grab bag of holdings with no thought on how the parts should interact. The danger of over-diversifying your mutual funds. And that's going to be one of our main talking points today. And I also want to discuss China's trillion won fiscal stimulus that they're planning on. Briefly talk about that. Oil, the forecast for deep cuts in U.S. oil production next year. Well, I think we should take a look at that. And I have two articles on that, by the way. One, if there's deep cut in production, wouldn't that be supportive of oil? And then there was another article saying that that they could see oil going down to $20 a barrel. And as I read that article, that really isn't what the article said. That was the come line for you to read the article. Also, Brazil. No one talked. I mentioned Greece. Yes, Greece yesterday. How about Brazil? Everybody. Do you know what's going on there? Brazil. Remember, one of the BRIC countries. I said BRIC countries. And how they doing? And for fun, expats, retirees. That leave the United States. There was a survey done in three countries in Central America. And are they happy? They've been there a while. Are they happy? Did it meet their expectations? That kind of thing. I think it's kind of fun and interesting to know what those people are doing, if they're happy about it. And I'll tell you the three countries that they were in. And this was a survey like about 500 people. Let me rephrase that. 389 people, exactly. That's what we're going to talk about. But first, what's on your mind? Let's take a look at the market today. The Dow is up 102, the NASDAQ up 26, and the S&P up 9. We actually had an up week for the week. Okay? That doesn't mean a lot. But we did have an up week. Last week, we had a down week. So next week with the Fed meeting, we're going to have an interesting week. We'll see what the market does with that. We're still in the correction. We're down 8-9% for the year. We're down 10% or so from the top, somewhere in that range. I didn't do the math this morning. But that's where we are, and we'll see. The year has not been a good year for the market. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. Your investment portfolio can tell a lot about you. If it shows you your willingness to accept a certain kind of risk, a level of risk. It shows whether you pay attention to diversification and taxes. So can I help you with any of these critical money management issues? I'd be happy to. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Good afternoon. My name is Derek. I'm a podcast listener from Toledo, Ohio. The question I had for you today was about the stock Murray's O'Reilly's Auto Parts. It's O-R-L-Y. I picked up a small position of it a couple of weeks back, and I was wondering if it would be a good time to buy it another position or if I should just wait. Thank you.
Okay, O'Reilly Automotive operates 4,366 automotive parts stores in 43 states with plans to open 205 more in 2015. That's a goodly amount. It's going to make $8.91 this year. That's pretty darn good. That's a 21% increase from last year. Next year, it's going to make $10.12, another 14% increase. And sales have been coming in at 9-10% growth every quarter, quarter after quarter after quarter. Very steady. And if you look at the stock, it has reflected that. You know, it's at $245 today. A year ago, it was about $150. So it's done well. Okay. Now, you bought in a position after when it looks like you bought it after the correction. It corrected with the market, but not too bad. I mean, went from 256 to around 230. That's not too bad of a fall. Should you buy more? Well, this is where you would, because it just broke up above all moving averages today, and it held pretty solid. So if you're going to buy more, you'd buy more here. This would be the place. I do think it's expensive, though. Great return on equity number of 39%. Great cash flow. All the numbers look really good. The only number that doesn't look good is the price-earnings ratio. In other words, the price of stock is really high compared to earnings. It's up. It's about 30. Well, geez, that's a lot, okay? That's a lot. Therefore, it's kind of overpriced. But if it keeps up what it's doing on a consistent basis, it'll stay overpriced. So technically, on a chart, this is where you would buy it. Fundamentally, you have to realize you're buying an expensive stock, and you know you're taking that risk. But fundamentally, it looks pretty good. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk about mutual funds. Talk about over-diversification. This is the problem. Many people start to lose track because they open up a bunch of accounts. I just looked at a person's financial picture. They had 5 to 6 IRAs. They had mutual funds and stocks in each one of them. And I could tell that they have trouble keeping track of what they have. They don't really know what they have. It's hard to keep track when you have that many. It's difficult. So that's very common. You open a mutual fund account at Schwab, and then another one at Fidelity, another one at J.P. Morgan. You open all these different ones, and then you open up stock accounts over here and over there. You have a trust, you have a joint, you have on and on, Roth versus regular IRA, and you lose track. And then it moves into another problem is you have a lot of duplication. A lot of duplication, and people think they're very diversified because they have 50 different mutual funds. But when you look at them, you'll find out that there's so much overlap, and these different fund names, but doing pretty much the same thing. So not necessarily proper diversification. So that's always difficult. And another problem I have with a lot of IRAs, it gets difficult to know which IRA do you take the money from and how much is your required minimum distribution because you got IRAs everywhere. It gets confusing. I always tell people, simplify. You know, reduce the IRAs to the fewest you can make. You know, you can't combine Roth with regular IRAs, but you can take steps to make it simpler. You can move an old 401k into an IRA. You can, if you have a SEP IRA you're no longer contributing to, you can roll that over into a regular IRA. There's things you can do to condense and consolidate, to make life easier for you. Believe me, it gets difficult, especially in retirement years as you get older. You can see the latest dates for retirement reviews on investtalk.com. I'll be meeting with folks on September 23rd at our Dana Point office in Orange County. Then it'll be San Ramon on September 30th. If you'd like to schedule a retirement portfolio review with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. The listen line is now open, 888-99-CHART, and this is InvestTalk.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. InvestTalk is one of the few podcasts that allows you to talk directly with the hosts. The show is produced every weekday, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. So join in the discussion and be part of the podcast. Also, if you have a question you want to ask Steve or Justin and get an email response directly from them, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
888-99-CHART. Your questions come first. As always, whether you have a stock strategy or just want to know whether you should convert your traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, we're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. This is Nick. I have a question about mutual funds versus ETFs. I kind of hear whether I should have mutual funds in my portfolio or ETFs are better. I was thinking about having a mix of both. I know ETFs have a lower fee versus mutual funds. Just wanted to know your thoughts. Thank you.
Well, I like both. I like ETFs because they are usually less expensive, but they also are, you can target a very specific niche in the market. Mutual funds are managed accounts. ETFs are usually not managed. They're tracking a index or a subset of stocks or something, usually. Whereas a mutual fund is usually a managed account, unless you buy a mutual fund that follows an index. And if you do that, why didn't you just buy an ETF that follows an index? To me, it makes more sense. But I like the fact that you might want to pick the best managers in the mutual funds. And those, there are managers that are very good out there about reducing risk and having high rewards with less risk. So I kind of like them both. So therefore, you mix and match them doesn't. I like that. You just got to have a good methodology for picking good funds. Okay, that's the important key. How do you pick your funds, and is that a right way to do it? Okay, let's go to Devender in San Jose. How you doing? I think I said that right. Devender?
Yes. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yes. Can you check for me one stock, Joy?
Sure.
JOY.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to buy it or you already own it?
I want to buy it, and can you check the dividend? They're going to pay the dividend or?
Yeah, the dividend goes ex-dividend. Already went ex-dividend on September 2nd. So they've just paid their dividend not that long ago. They pay a 4.5% dividend. This is Joy Global, everybody, JOY. The manufacturer's continuous miners, longwall shears, electric shovels, and blast hole drills for coal mining and mineral extraction. And, of course, the stock has been beaten up because the whole sector has been crushed. Why do you want to buy this, Devender? What made you think that this is a stock you want to buy?
I look at the Caterpillar.
Uh-huh.
Caterpillar is a little bit high price, and this one is right now is cheaper.
Okay. The reason why it's cheaper is because it deserves to be cheaper. They're going to make $1.82 this year. They're going to make money. But last year they made $3.29. The year before, $5. The year before that, $7. And next year they're going to lose another. They're going to go down again to $1.41. Sales have been falling. And so that means the stock is fairly inexpensive at $17.69. But remember, it's going to make $1.41 next year. So that is what? A 13, 14 PE? That's not so cheap. And if they're going to pay 4.5% of a $17 stock, that is, about, 70 cents? So they can afford the dividend. They still should be able to pay it. But I would wait till it shows you some strength because that whole sector is really hurting. And coal mining is the worst part of all the energy sector. So I think I'd be very, very careful buying this one. I'd rather see you buy something else, really. I don't think this is good enough for you. Devin, okay. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's just the numbers are just not strong enough for me. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Give me a call anytime you want. The forecast for oil production in the U.S. is going down next year, steeply down. They're talking about, the fracking industry going to have a really tough time because we still have a huge oversupply of oil. And Saudi Arabia is still pumping out all the oil they can. They don't want to lose any market share. So we have a glut right now. And therefore, they're saying that stock, the oil prices are probably going to remain weak. Remember, we're at, what, $44, $45 a barrel right now? We got down to the high 30s. There's speculation it could go as low as 20s, but probably won't. Goldman Sachs forecast for 1 month is between $38 and $45. 3 months, $42 to $49. 12 months out, $45 to $60. So they're saying that it's probably going to slowly get stronger. We know that. But they've also said that they said for all the extra supply to dissipate, oil prices had to hit $20 a barrel to get rid of all the weak hands. And that's exactly what OPEC is trying to do. We are like the third largest producer of oil now. And it's because it's been our success with fracking. And they're trying to, and fracking's a little bit expensive. Much more expensive than Saudi Arabia. The oil's right there in the sand. It's not too deep. It's pretty easy to get to. It's pretty cheap. So just so you know, that's where oil's going to go. It's not going to disappear. It's not going to go away. But be very careful buying those smaller oil companies. I've been pushing larger oil companies. This is Invest Talk. Thanks for investing this hour with me. I appreciate it. We try to make it worth your while. Don't leave any of your questions unanswered. Don't leave them on the table. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. We're here for you. Beginner experienced investor, does not matter. Same number as always. If you're a podcast listener and can't reach us during our live program, which is always 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, you can call us after those hours. So let's start this half hour with an email voicemail.
Yeah, hi, Steve and Justin. This is David from Portland. I'm an avid podcast listener. I love the show. Listen to it every night when I get home from work. Anyway, I'd like to know what you guys think about Cisco Systems, CSCO, big networking company. Just interested in it for a long-term investment. Long-term, like till I retire years from now. I think that might be a good place to park some cash. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on that and what a good entry point might be. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Portland. I'll be there at the end of the month. I have relatives up there, and we have some big doings on. Some nieces of mine are pregnant, going to have babies. So we're going up there for a day or two, me and my wife. So I love that area. Cisco Systems. There's two Cisco Systems, everybody. Cisco Systems spelled C-I-S-C-O, and Cisco Systems spelled with an S. The Cisco Systems he's talking about manufactures switchers, routers, other networking and communications hardware for businesses and home applications. The other Cisco is a food provider, okay, to restaurants and so on, a food and equipment provider. Anyways, this Cisco system has very steady numbers. It is a big blue chip stock. In the 90s, it was a great growth name, huge growth name. Now it got really big. No longer a growth name. It's a big blue chip stock. Mind you, it's still growing. The last year, it's grown about 4 to 6% in sales, and earnings are going to go up 4% this year, then 7% next year. So it still has some growth, just not a lot anymore. Therefore, it doesn't have the P.E. ratio. The P.E. ratio is 12. And if you would have been looking at this in the 90s, the P.E. ratio would have been astronomical. That's what happens. A natural transition of huge growth morphing into a big blue chip stock, and then you have to look for dividends for another reason for it to invest in, not just for growth. This one pays 3.2%. So this is a really good, solid name. I have no problem with you buying it, you know, in this area. It's at $26.02. You might want to wait another week or two or three to see if we get another retest of the lows. This stock got down close to $23 at the absolute bottom, but that was an intraday low. Remember that big up-down day? It closed around 25, but it got down to almost 23. And 23, by the way, was the low it made last October. A little bit below 23 last October. I mean, that would probably be the more ideal number. You may not get it, though. but that would be the ideal number. And I still would wait a week or two or three. There's no big rush to get into this stock, but it is a good, solid blue chip stock to own for a long, many, many, many years. They are the leader in their industry. And of course, there are going to be, you know, people, companies that are trying to knock them off that leadership, but they're pretty much entrenched there. It's going to be difficult. That's like trying to knock off AT&T or Microsoft, or, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. China mulls a trillion won fiscal stimulus, according to a recent report. A trillion. Actually, it's not a trillion. It's between 1.2 and 1.5 trillion won. Well, how much is that? Well, a trillion won is $160 billion. Well, how much is that compared to their economy? Well, it's pretty significant. Okay, what they're going to do is they're going to announce over a three-year period a new stimulus package, and this is huge. And it's really a big deal, you know. And they have said that they're going to come out. The finance minister said the country is going to roll out a more forceful fiscal policies to stimulate growth. And this is the rumor that they're going to roll out. Now, this rumor is probably pretty factual because a lot of these central banks like to release hints what they're going to do to see how it flies in the public. And so this is probably going to be a pretty massive thing. They're going to invest in projects that will be, and we're talking about a lot of infrastructure, projects out, and it'll be funded by commercial lenders, private investors, and policy banks. Okay, and that's what the report said. So this is going to be a pretty, I mean, we knew that they're going to do this, and they're going to continue to do it. They have the money to do it until they get their economy where they want it to be. So, and this is a plan over 3 years. So I don't think you should fight the Fed. In this case, the Fed is the Chinese finance minister. You know, the ECB, the European Central Bank, they're doing their QE. That's pretty massive. Seems like Europe is going to turn around. So it looks like maybe down the road next year we'll get some positive numbers coming out of these foreign locations that have been a drag and hurting our growth prospects. But at the same time, we might be going in the opposite direction. You just never know. You got to be real careful. Okay, let's get back to the phone. Garth in San Jose called our 24-hour listener line, same number, 888-99-CHART.
So my question is, I have interest in the book that Steve wrote. Does this book cover the technicals and the fundamentals that you talk about? That I listen to the show and I have difficulty. I'm driving when I'm listening to write them down all the time. So I was wondering, that's my main interest, is in the technicals and the fundamentals that you talk about on the show. Again, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, you're talking about my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And I'll read you some of the table of contents chapters. Let's see, a little history, emotions and market, general rules on buying stock, what to buy, what to avoid and why, how to find stocks, the hardest part of being in the stock market, putting it all together. So they has both fundamentals and technicals, but it is a beginner book. It's not an advanced book, so don't think in terms of you're going to really get into a lot of the different aspects of technicals. It's more double bottoms, triple tops, finding support and resistance, you know, those kinds of things. So, yes, it has both, but I don't want you to think that it's, you know, an in-depth look. It's not. Okay. So, again, my book, Steve Peasley is a publisher, is a writer. That's me. Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. Okay, let's go to Invest Talk 101. You know, we do that every week, every few days, or every other day. We have Invest Talk 101, time to rebalance your portfolio. Is it a time? Should you be doing it now? We talked about rebalancing a lot. I know it's boring. But what does rebalancing really mean? Well, let's do it this way. Let's make it simple. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have decided you want a 70-30 balance. 70% of your portfolio in stocks, 30% in bonds. That's what you want this year. That's the balance that you're looking for. So first, obviously, you have to decide what balance you want. Okay, so now let's say the stock market did really good, or your stocks, or one or two of your stocks did really good. Instead of 70-30, is now 80-20. Just because the stocks rose so much compared to the bonds. Well, now you're out of balance. So what you do is you sell back some of your winners to put yourself back in balance. And you're going to say, why would I want to sell the winners? So I don't, you know, I mean, they're the one, I should put more money in them. And that would be wrong. First of all, you're looking to rebalance your portfolio to the balance that you are trying to achieve. So that would make it worse if you kept adding to your winners. And you know what? Winners eventually turn over and become losers. They don't always stay winners all the time. It might take a while, but it's still. So you need, that's what you, when we talk about rebalancing, first decide what's the balance that you want. And then go in and make sure it happens. Now, the exact opposite can happen. Stock market can crash, and all of a sudden it's 50% stocks and 50% bonds. So what do you do then? You see, you still got to do the same thing. You got to rebalance it. You want 70-30, you need to increase your stock position. Sell some of your bond position, put them in the stock position. It's all about balancing to the desired numbers over a long period of time. Now, you may change your mind. Maybe you want 50-50. But don't change the mind. Don't change your mind because the market changed your mind for you. Change your mind because that's the risk-adjusted desire that you have. You have decided that based on long-term study, not just from, oh, the market's pushed me around. I like the way it pushed me this time. That's not the way to do it. Not the way to do it. That's InvestTalk 101. Do you got any questions on rebalancing? Let's hear from you. 888-99-CHART.
Each month, Steve meets with a limited number of InvestTalk listeners for informal retirement reviews. The next date at the home office in Dana Point in Orange County is September 23rd. Then it's off to San Ramon on September 30th. You can reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and clicking on schedule a meeting. They're scheduled on a first-come, first-served basis. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
Hi, Steve. I listen to your show by podcast, and I'd like to know if you think it's a good time to buy Prudential. Everybody knows Prudential, a piece of the rock. The symbol would be PRU. Thank you.
Prudential, a big, huge insurance financial company, offers life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, retirement products in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and Latin America. It's a $35.5 billion company, big blue-chip company. Pays a 2.9% dividend. Sales are growing up, going to be up. I mean, earnings are going to be up 15% this year and shrink 1% next year. Sales are going up about 8%, 10% this year. So that's good. It is inexpensive. It's a $78.99 stock. So a $79 stock is going to make $10.58 this year, $10.47 next year. That means it's cheap. So this is where I'd want to buy it. Looks like a good price to me. I mean, we're talking about a PE of, what, 8? Return on equity is a little low, 11%. But insurance companies generally don't have the greatest return on equity. Cash flow is very strong. That 2.9% dividend is very solid. They'll probably raise it. I mean, remember, they're going to make $10 a share. And it's a $789 stock. And it's paying 3%. Okay, well, that's like $2.50. They make 10. So they have, you know, a lot of room to grow the dividend. So I kind of like it for that reason. Now, this looks like a good, solid place to buy it, just so you know. But you might want to wait, as I've been telling everybody, to see how this little correction shakes out a little bit more. No big rush to get into it. And that's Prudential, PRU, everybody, PRU. Brazil. We haven't been talking about Brazil. No one's talking about Brazil. What's going on in Brazil? Like, no one's talking about Greece anymore. It's like these countries just kind of stopped being important. Well, Brazil is now in recession. Most recent numbers is its GDP shrunk 1.9%, second quarter in a row that has done that. So it's in a recession now. Their economy this is the worst downturn of their economy in 25 years. S&P and Moody's downgraded the debt to junk. And, you know, the problem, one of the bigger problems, they have several, but one of them is corruption. Remember the big scandal about Petrobras, billions of dollars involved, and, you know, huge scandal, a lot of people taking a lot of money under the table. And then add on top of the corruption scandal, you got the same time commodity prices falling. And Brazil is a big commodity producer of food and oil. And at the same time, their government is way overspending. So now, recently, their president is now has, you know, had a coalition government that's fallen apart. So you got a lot of issues all happening pretty much at the same time. So Brazil, and remember, this used to be one of the BRIC companies, everybody, darling BRIC. Oh, Brazil, Russia. Think about what happened in Russia. They're in recession. Brazil, Russia, BRIC, B-R-I-C, India, and China. Well, you know, everything goes in cycles. They were really hot, now they're not. It's as simple as that. And the more, you know, the countries relying on commodities are ones that are getting hurt the most. Even Canada, next door to us. They're a big commodity producer, and they're struggling. So that's what's going on in Brazil. Not a place to be right now. And you know, if you take a look at their index funds of Brazil or the ETF of Brazil, and you'll find it's not the best of news. Now, at some point, it could be pretty attractive. Just not at this point. You know, everybody tries to pick a bottom. Let's wait till the bottom comes. Wait till it happens. You know, you'll see it. It'll start to recover, and then your odds are much higher if you try not to catch it while it's falling. Jerry Klein, my partner, always used to talk about don't try to catch a falling knife because you're going to get cut. So as the stock is falling, or a country is falling, or anything is falling, don't pick it up yet. Wait till it rattles, hits the ground, rattles around, stops rattling around, starts to come. Then you can more carefully pick that knife up, okay? Now, if you have a question you want answered right now, well, we're here. You can call right now. 888-99-CHART. We're live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m., so we're live right now. So give us a call. This is Invest Talk.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on Invest Talk. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Most investors have no problem having zero exposure to international bonds. Does that make any sense? A key asset class most investors completely ignore. That's our talking point for Monday's podcast. We hope you'll be listening then.
Well, we have time for another question before we close. This one is from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. My name's Gary. I listen to your podcast almost every day. I'm calling from Massachusetts. And I have a question about a stock, Express Scripts. The symbol is ESRX. And I also would like to know, what is a good ROE, return on equity? What should that be if you're interested in buying a stock? Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, some good questions. Express Scripts, ESRX, provides pharmacy benefits, management services to managed care organizations, employees, insurers, and administrators. Return on equity, I like to see a 17% or higher in general. This one's at 18%. So what's a good return on equity? Well, a good return on equity to me is 17% or higher. You ask that question to somebody else, they'll probably say a different number. But that's my number. They are going to grow their earnings 13% this year, another 10% next year. They're growing sales 1-2% per quarter after shrinking 2-5% a quarter a year ago. So it's a $57 billion company. It's big. No dividend. I don't like the companies being this big and not paying a dividend because they're pretending that they're a growth company, and they're not. So why they're not paying a dividend, I don't know. It's a good, solid company, good numbers. You know, mutual funds are buying it over the last year. So, you know, it's got all the right things, but you would think with $6 earnings per share that they would be paying a dividend, an $84 stock and a $57 billion market cap, but they're not. You know, what's the stock worth? Well, if $6 and maybe it deserves a market PE of 90, 50, I'm sorry, market PE of 15, which makes it the price of the stock around 90, and it's at 84. So it's a little underpriced. That's what I think. Anyways. And that's Express Scripts, ESRX, everybody. Expats. See, have you heard that term, expats? These are people that retire here in the United States and go live in a foreign country. Okay, how are they doing? Do they like it? Well, there was a survey. 389 people were asked. And three of the most popular Central American countries that these people retire to. And the countries are Belize, Nicaragua, and Panama. Now, most of them said they're very happy. Now, why did they want to live there? What were they after? Three main reasons. Less stress, better weather conditions, and lower cost. Two of those three criteria were met, according to the majority of these people. One of those three wasn't. Less stress. They didn't notice a big difference in stress, but it was cheaper and the weather was better. So I thought that was interesting because I would think maybe there would be less stress, but maybe not. You're in a foreign country. You don't know all the rules and regulations, and if they speak a different language than you got to learn their language. Panama speaks English, but I don't know about Belize and Nicaragua. I think they probably speak Spanish. So, you know, kind of interesting. I think if, you know, when you collect Social Security in this country and you go live in another country, you can live quite well in various places. It's a question of whether you want to. One of the things I will warn you about, I've talked to several people that have done this or at least tried it, and the weather might be nice, but it's humid in the summertime. More humid than they would care to take. So there are issues with the weather. So if you're thinking about retiring some way, I always tell people, if you want to retire to some place, make sure you go there when the weather is extreme, either cold or hot. Because then it'll tell you a lot about, well, can you live in this? It's okay to visit it for a day or two, but can you live in it? And that's a big difference. Can you live in it? Before I close for the hour, take a look at the brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on all investors' radars if they're looking for exposure to dividend-focused sector. REITs is one. It's available for all InvestTalk insiders. Join up for free on InvestTalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley on behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial. Thanks for listening today, and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.